This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock, and we're honored to have Captain Paul Watson on board today. Paul, for those who spent the last few months living in a cave or watching sitcoms, can you tell us about the recent Sea Shepherd voyage to stop illegal whaling in the Southern Ocean?
Yeah, we just returned from the Antarctic coast of Antarctica, the Antarctic Whale Sanctuary, and we were able to locate and confront the Japanese whaling fleet and to shut down their operations. And shortly after that engagement, the Nishan Maru, the factory ship, suffered fire damage. Actually, it was a fire that raged for a week and pretty much destroyed their ability to continue whaling. So the ship had to retreat back to Japan and had only got half of its quota. So it was a very good year for the whales down in Antarctica this year.
I wonder, how many did they take?
They took 508 whales out of a quota of just over 1,000.
And were some of those more endangered than others?
They were to take 10 fin whales, which are endangered, but I don't know how many they actually took. They didn't release that. At the end of this year, they want to go back and target 50 endangered humpbacks and 50 endangered fins. And we've told them that the humpbacks and the fins are our line in the sand. We're not going to allow that. It's a blatant violation of international conservation law. And so we're going to probably have to take a much more aggressive position with them at the end of this year.
So you think despite the fire and having to be towed out of there that they'll be going back next year in the same ship or a different ship? Or?
Well, they'll repair the damage. It'll be tens of millions of dollars, but the ship is owned by the Japanese government, so they have unlimited funding, really, to address this. It's a heavily subsidized industry. The Japanese don't really need the whale meat. It's now become sort of a matter of pride with them, and similar to the way the Canadian government is behaving on the seal hunt.
I've heard they've even used it for pet food. Is that true?
Yeah, they're trying to find all sorts of means of marketing the whale meat, and using it for dog and cat food is one of the most bizarre things to consider is that, you know, when people complain about whales, seals, and dolphins eating the fish in the oceans, that statistically the amount of fish that's consumed every year by domestic house cats is greater than the amount of fish consumed by the world's seals. So people just don't think about that when they're condemning seals and dolphins for eating fish.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I was recently at a lecture by Dr. Daniel Pauly. He's the head of the Fisheries Research Center at the University of British Columbia. And he said his team studied the question of whether marine mammals are to blame for the spectacular decline of food fisheries around the world. And not surprisingly, they found out that human overfishing and pollution are the real deal. And he said if they killed off every marine mammal in the world, the stocks of ocean life would still continue to plummet. It's a powerful speech. I don't know if you've heard it or if you've heard from him.
No, but I've been saying that for years. I mean, just consider, what is the largest marine predator on the planet right now? Just give a guess. It's not the shark. Sharks are being wiped out. It's the cow. The domestic cow. We feed more fish to cows, pigs, sheep, and chicken than all the marine mammals in the world are consuming. The cow is the number one aquatic predator on this planet right now.
All right, you've shocked me with that one.
Because more than 50% of all of the seafood or fish, whatever, or fish meal taken from the ocean is processed into animal feed.
Getting back to the whaling in the Southern Ocean, New Zealand and Australia were instrumental, or at least supportive, of the Southern Whale Sanctuary back in the 1990s. Why can't they enforce it the way they fight off other illegal fisheries? Why call it a sanctuary at all? It seems like it's sort of hunting in a zoo, you know?
Well, they do enforce the waters down there. If you're a Uruguayan, they'll go after you. If you're an Indonesian, they'll go after you. They'll send patrol boats down to arrest Uruguayan Patagonia toothfish poachers in those very same waters the Japanese are operating in. The difference is Japan is an economic bully, gets what it wants. And so they're simply afraid to tackle the Japanese. The fact is, if it's a sanctuary, and not only that, most of the sanctuaries in the Antarctic Australian territory, it should be enforced. They haven't come up with any answers other than that. I think the one answer that was, well, Japan doesn't recognize our authority. Well, you know, Japan didn't recognize the sovereignty of Australia in 1942. It didn't stop Australia from fighting them.
Well, and we know Japan isn't the only country dirty with whale blood. The Norwegians started their season April 1st, and this time they raised their own limits by 30% to over 1,000 whales. And they're going to bring the hunt close to shore, where the whales can be killed right in front of the tourists there for whale watching. What do you make of that?
Well, also the Icelanders, I'm sending our ship, the Farley Mowat, from Australia to Iceland and Norway this summer. So we'll be heading out here in about 3 weeks. And so we'll be tackling them up there, too. I mean, the Norwegians are a little more honest than the Japanese. They're blatantly killing whales for commercial purposes. The Japanese are doing so, but they're trying to say it's so-called scientific whaling. But all three, Iceland, Norway, and Japan, are in blatant violation of international conservation law.
Canada's another outlaw. We talk about the eastern Arctic bowhead whales. There's only about 200 of them left, and yet the government continues to let the Inuit hunt them. And yet Canadians think they're mad at the Japanese for whaling.
Yeah, well, Canada withdrew from the International Whaling Commission, so any whaling activity by Canada is illegal. It's not; it's outside of the laws of the international authority. But, you know, Canada's record on marine mammal protection is horrendous. I mean, right now, over a quarter of a million seals have drowned because of global warming issue conditions with the ice, and they still set a quota of 275,000. That's over a half a million seals will be killed this year. This isn't a conservation. This is simply a lunacy. What the Minister of Fisheries and Oceans, Loyola Hearn, who's a Newfoundlander, is doing is acting as a Newfoundland Minister of Fisheries, basically appeasing the fishermen of Newfoundland. He's certainly not representing the rest of Canada.
Well, the ocean seems like a wild west with no sheriff, no law enforcement. What do you recommend to protect what is left?
Well, you hit it right on the head. It is the wild west. There is no law enforcement. There's plenty of laws. We got all the laws we need, but nobody's enforcing them. It's interesting that sea shepherds condemn, because we don't protest anything. We simply uphold international conservation law, and we're empowered to do so by virtue of the UN World Charter for Nature, which allows non-government organizations to do that. We're just following the book. But, you know, our opposition have a lot of money, these big factory trawlers and whalers and everything. It's incredible amounts of money, billions of dollars. So we're up against a very powerful enemy. And so the best way to deal with this is to constantly say, oh, you know, see, they're eco-terrorists or they're pirates. In fact, I don't really have a problem with the term pirate. We actually adopted our own pirate flag, our own Jolly Roger, because I recall that back in the 17th century, it wasn't the British Navy that shut down piracy in the Caribbean. They're all on the take, just like all the politicians are today. No, piracy was shut down by Henry Morgan, who was a pirate. So if you want to shut down pirates, you have to get pirates to do it. So we look on ourselves as pirates of compassion in search of pirates of profit.
Well, when we add this up, it paints humans as not just insane, but viciously crazy when it comes to other species on Earth. And you're out there on the front lines, year in and year out. How do you handle it personally? Are there days when it really gets to you?
I do what I do for whales and sharks and seals and that. I don't do what I do for people, you know, so that it really doesn't bother me what people think about what we do. You know, after we sank half of Iceland's whaling fleet a few years ago, I had a former colleague from Greenpeace came up, and he said, I just want to tell you that what you did in Iceland was inexcusable and unforgivable and criminal. And I said, hold it right there. I don't really care what you think, because we didn't sink those whaling ships for you or for Greenpeace or for anybody on this planet. We sank them from the whales. And if you can find me one whale that disagreed with what we did that day, I promise you we won't do it again.
I object, says the whale. Unlikely. Well, you started out life on Canada's East Coast, and you spent a lot of years kicking around the world's oceans, but you've also lectured in universities, so that's an odd mix of sailor and a teacher and an activist. What's coming up for you now?
Well, this year we're focusing on our campaign to Iceland to protect whales, our campaign to Antarctica at the end of the year to go after the Japanese whaling fleet again. We have a full-time operation with our vessel Sirenian in the Galapagos, where we're working in partnership with the Galapagos National Park to stop poaching down there. We're also intervening against dolphin killing in Japan. We're protecting seals in South Africa and opposing the seal hunt in Canada. And we're also confiscating on a routine basis illegal long lines in both the Pacific and the Atlantic. So it certainly keeps us busy. And unfortunately, we are only touching the tip of the iceberg of all of the problems.
Did you manage to get your ship relicensed when Canada yanked the flag from it?
Well, yeah, Canada pulled our flag. And the reason they gave for pulling the flag was, on the letter I received, the reason given, none. We found later it was from Japanese pressure. Now they've turned around and charged me. Now, this is interesting. When we were down in Antarctica last year, they changed the status of my ship from yacht to commercial vessel while I was at sea. Then when the ship docked in Cape Town, they charged me for not having the papers to command a commercial vessel. They're now wanting to fine me, if I plead guilty, $27,000 for that. Of course, I'm not going to plead guilty. But this is the kind of harassment that we can get on a continual basis.
Well, let's take a slightly different tack. What would you really like to tell us about? What should listeners know about?
Well, what they should really know about is that the oceans of the world are dying. They're dying right before our eyes, but for the most part, it's out of sight and out of mind. Nobody should be eating seafood at all, you know. And we certainly shouldn't be feeding it to our cows and pigs and everything and all this farm-raised salmon, which is, you know, it takes 30 to 50 fish caught from the ocean to raise one of those guys. You know, we're just literally eating the oceans out of existence. And if we don't stop it, we're going to be in some serious trouble, because not only do the oceans provide, protein for people who desperately need it, in third world countries where that's all they've got, but it also provides 80% of our oxygen supply. And you start messing with that phytoplankton and the relationship between prey and predators and not knowing what we're doing, the way we're going about it, we're going to literally suffocate from what we're doing. And, of course, everybody's going to say, oh, my God, this guy's a doom and gloom Cassandra. I get called that a lot. But, you know, I like to remind people that when they call me that they should remember that Cassandra was a doom and gloom prophet, but she was right.
Well, you're right in there with a lot of scientists who are also calling out for action on this. And for those of us who are still sitting in our cars and condos, but we do care, how can we help?
Well, I think the most important thing is that people should refrain from eating seafood. And if I, who was raised in an East Coast fishing village on a diet of seafood, can do it, anybody can do it. And second of all, get involved with the groups that are actually out there doing things. I don't support the big organizations, but the small grassroots community organizations that are trying to protect this planet, those are the ones that should be supported.
We've been speaking with Captain Paul Watson, the founder and organizer of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Find them at www.seashepherd.org. Paul, thanks so much for talking with Radio EcoShock today.
Thank you.